Well, praise the Lord. I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm happy to see my friends here visiting us. Let us turn to John chapter 1. And by now you all can quote it along with me. That's one of the benefits of going through a set like the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow to it. We spent 3.5 years in that passage, so it seemed like it. I think cows were raised and slaughtered and eaten in the time. So it was but that was good, and it put it in my heart and in my mind. So John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Hallelujah. I still get excited every time I read that. I make no apologies. That gets to my soul. Brother Tom, will you pray God's blessing on us this morning, please? Amen. Thank you. Please feel free to be seated. So last week we saw the persistent pattern of the light, that the light always shines and that someone always receives. And that's not a plot twist, but that's that ongoing pattern of God's mercy, that even when many reject the Lord Jesus Christ, someone is going to receive him. They always have. And the moment we reach the end of people accepting him, he will come again. Because I believe he'll wait until the very last moment, until the last person reaches that point. But this is not an ongoing pattern. This is an ongoing pattern of no matter what's going on in this world, there is somebody hungry to receive the light. And John said he came into his own and his own received him not. And we talked about how his own was his own thing and his own people received him. We talked about the different kinds of reception. The story didn't end with that rejection. And as the village builder was turned away from his family, and then we saw, and last week we saw how even in that rejection, there were many that those who believed on him were given the authority to become the sons of God. And this was, and the point there was that it's not a consolation prize, but it is a miracle. And so as I was looking through this, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even them that believed on his name. I started to think about that, and it's like, okay, where does the even to them that believe on his name? It goes on into this next verse, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I was wondering quickly, who is born of not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God? It's not as many as received him directly, but this is describing the children of God. It's the children of God who are born of God, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And the joy is that as many as received him, he gave them the right to become those children of God. So by transitive property, I said that for you, Steve, and I'm not really sure what that means, but it's transitive and it's a property. But what this means is that the children of God, whoever believe on him, be given the right to be born of God. And so I was thinking about this, and of course I get all excited, and I'm thinking, okay, what does it mean to be a children of God? How do you actually become a son of God? Because it's great to have a right, but if you don't know how to exercise it, it's not really a right, right? People ask me why I went and got certain permits and spent the money. I said, because if you don't exercise a right, it stops being a right, you know? But if you don't know how to exercise that right, it's all theory. And I want to make sure that I exercise the rights that God has given me. And so I'm like, all right, how do I become a child of God? Is it automatic? Is it something I can earn? Is it something I can inherit? And John tells us about how they are born, or at least the manner of being born that they have. And it follows a very specific pattern, and a divine pattern even. He says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I'm going to say that a billion times today, so just bear with me. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so in this, we've already talked about John's use of repetition and his use of rhythmic meter, right? Well, here, John gives us a very specific rhythm, and it's almost like a child's game. It's almost like duck, 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 goose, right? Ain't you, ain't you, ain't you, it's you, run, you know? So it's almost that duck, 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 goose kind of game here. It's not, 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 but, right? And so there's three ways that don't work, and then there's the one way that does. Boy, doesn't that remind you of a certain way to God? There's only one way to God. There are three human impossibilities, but there is one divine possibility, and we're going to see that exact same rhythm twice. Once in how Jesus entered the world, and then once in how we enter into God's family. So listen for it with me, not, 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 but. But before we get to hearing the rhythm, let's kind of understand what it is he's saying. He says the three human failures is not of blood, and I'm not going to get too into the Greek here. I say that every time, and part of that's just so that I don't get into the Greek here. But what he's saying is it's not of family lineage. You can't inherit this just because your parents were children of God. And this is irritating to the Jewish mindset in the Second Temple period, right? They were the ones who got mad at the Lord and said, we be Abraham's seed. How dare you say that we are not free? And he says, well, I tell you, a servant, he who sins is a servant to sin. And so lets them know that they may be Abraham's seed, but that does not mean they are free. Because children of God are not born by lineage. They're not born by ancestry or descendancy. You can't, it would be great if you were born into it. It would be not great if that was the only way for it to be born into, right? But it's not of blood. It's not of lineage. It's not inherited. God does not have grandchildren, as my pastor likes to tell us. You have only the Lord as your father. There's nobody else going to be, he's not going to be anybody's granddad through you, right? I can't get you to heaven. You can't go to heaven based on my relationship with God. I can't get to heaven based on your relationship with God. It's all one-on-one. And we are not born of blood. We are not born by inheritance. We are not born by tradition, Abraham's seed or no. And then he says, not of the will of the flesh. And what he's saying here ultimately seems to be not through natural human reproduction. You know, God told told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, and people have been doing their very best to fulfill that commandment ever since. And it's the natural course of action. It's the natural human desire and the natural physical and intimate desire. And John, lots of times when John talks about flesh, he's got the negative sense of it, right? When Jesus makes that differentiation between born of the flesh and born of the spirit, there's a little less of that negativity. But in here, when he's talking about born of the flesh, he's not saying born out of sinfulness. He's saying just born out of the human habit or tendency to procreate, right? It's deeply built within us. And then he says, not of the will of man. And it took me quite a while of digging or to really sit down and look at this and see what it's saying, because he's not being redundant here. The word man, at least scholastic or academic, I guess, consensus seems to be that this word can often be translated as husband, and in this case, that is the sense of it. It's not family planning. It's not a father's desire to carry on the family name or to have a son to take over the world when he goes away, right? Yeah. It's not of the husband's desire to add to his family. And the reason John didn't say anything about a woman's will is because in that time period, the woman really didn't have much say in the matter. But he's telling us, so children of God are not born by lineage. They are not born out of just the human physical attraction to each other and the desire to reproduce. It's not, we are not born out of someone's desire or intention to expand their kingdom or to expand their family unit. So not of blood, not of flesh, not of man's will, but of God. And you may remember last week I talked about the two forms of the word but, and how last week it was a softer kind of a however. It's more of a gentle transition, and that word was day. And that's how we know that the but as many as received him is not a shocker. It's not this great pivot point. It's the natural progress of God's revelation. Someone is going to receive it, right? And here, though, we see the abrupt transition. We see that shocking reversal. It's not of any humanity. It's not of anything humans can do, but it's of God. There's no gentle transition. There's just nothing. There's no correlation between the two. There's no relationship between the two. You can't get there from here kind of transition. And what humans cannot do, God alone can. And the last thing I'd like to point out here is that the word born of God, this is not just having given birth. And many times in our culture, we think of a woman because that's how people are born. But the word in the Greek here is more along the lines of begetting, as you can think in the Old Testament. Person A begat person B and lived so many years and died, and person B begat person C and begat person B, and you know all the begats. We skim through them, and it becomes gibberish after a while. It's like the drudge part of reading through the Bible, right? All the begats. But this is the kind of verse or verb that's being used here. It emphasizes the begetting specifically by the Father. And so when we see this here, what John is saying is we don't birth ourselves into God's family, but he begets us. He births us. This is God's action and his decision. And so I wanted to point out that John is showing us three ways in which we are not born into God's family, and then just says, but of God. And that's great, but what does that mean to be born of God, especially if it's the Father who does the begetting, and I've got the right to receive the begetting of the Father? How do I go about doing this? And just a few chapters later, John records the Lord Jesus telling us more about how we are born into God's family. We look at John chapter 3, and we don't have to look through the entire thing, but in John 3:3, Nicodemus has come to the Lord Jesus, and said, "Rabbi, I know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do unless God be with him." And the Lord answers him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Jesus tells Nicodemus that you have to be born of God, right? You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And, you know, it's funny. This is not, I used to think this was a scornful statement, that he was mocking the Lord when he said it. Having learned, that's a stretch of the truth, isn't it? Having learned a little bit of the Greek, I start to understand things a little better. And the word used there for again means has two different meanings in the Greek specifically. It can either mean again or it can mean from above. And you can't always say that when a word is used, it means all of its meanings, right? Usually when you use a word, it's got one meaning, and the context lets you know the meaning. But here, there's this clever wordplay that the Lord does, and Nicodemus reads it one way. How can I be born again? And then the Lord, of course, that's impossible. Can I enter my mother's womb the second time? So you must be born again, but you can't. And Nicodemus says, how can you? Well, humanity can't. Again, only God can make this happen. Excuse me. And then the Lord tells Nicodemus that there are two parts to this rebirth. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, he's not describing two different births here, but he's describing one birth with two dimensions, a single new birth that happens of water and of Spirit. And we can tell this by looking at the sixth verse of this chapter, because he goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He's giving us two baptisms. He's not saying, "And he who is born of the water is of the water." Right? So he's making the distinction. Born of the flesh, you're of the flesh. If you're born of the Spirit, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we are instructed on that two-part birth in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter says unto the devout men who were pricked in their hearts, and he tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That's born of the water, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that is born of the Spirit. So there are two distinct but connected parts of the one spiritual birth from above. One is our obedience and our participation in the water baptism. The other is God's gift, freely given and empowered, and that's the reception of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus tells Nicodemus that there are two parts to this birth, water and Spirit, being buried with him and raised in newness of life and receiving God's gift of his own Spirit and nature within us. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. And so this pattern of divine birth requiring both water baptism and Spirit reception is not new. In fact, it's the same exact pattern we see when the Word first entered our world. Remember, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen to this rhythm and how it applies to Christ and his birth. He was not born of the bloods. He was of the lineage of David, but he was not born to earthly royalty. If there were a royal tree, he'd have been a far, far off branch. There was no lineage for him to ascend to the throne, regardless of his ancestry. He was not born into a palace. He was born into no inheritance. He had no royal advantages. He was not born into human privilege. And so God's entrance into our world, his entrance into his creation, was one that bypassed all privilege and all advantages. He did not choose the family with the crown or the name. He didn't choose the ones who were so proud in their lineage, but he came through a quiet line, into a forgotten village, because God is not looking for prestige. He was looking for faith. He was looking for someone who knew him and wanted a relationship. He was not born of the blood. He was not born of the will of the flesh, because Mary had known no man. It was the virgin birth. So no human sexual desire brought this about. No natural reproductive urges brought this about. There was no human passion. There was no biological process to create, to bring the word into flesh. Human desire cannot summon divinity. You cannot invoke the presence of the Almighty God. You do not get to tell him what to do or where to go. Mary's womb was not the result of human yearning for another. It was the resting place of divine mercy. The love that formed Christ's body was not eros, but it was agape. It was God's own love poured out. He was not born from lineage into inheritance. He was not born out of human passion. He was not born of the husband's will, because Joseph wasn't yet the husband of Mary. He hadn't yet taken Mary to be his wife. There was no family planning. Joseph was surprised to find out he was going to have a little bambino that wasn't his. Maybe had some explanation to do about how often, you know, she'd been seeing the Holy Ghost, and whether that had anything to do with the drying up of wills and family estates. This was no moral determination of family strategy. There was no human decision on the part of a man or even the head of a household to bring about this incarnation. Nobody sat down and said, you know what, she's going to have the Messiah, and I'm going to raise her to make that happen. Because the greatest plans of mankind never imagined this. Joseph had not written that into his wedding vows. It wasn't a part of his betrothal covenant. There, no father and no priest or no nation could even chart this arrival. It came uninvited, except for by Mary. It came unexpected, except by Mary and Joseph. And it came unrepeatable and completely divine. No human planning could have made this happen. He was not born of ancestry into privilege and power. He was not born out of human passion. He was not born out of human planning. He was born of God. Not, but of God. In Luke chapter 1, 35, the angel of the Lord appears to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And so this is something I wanted us to take a look at just a moment. See, how does this happen? Well, you and I don't know. We can look at the biological aspects of the incarnation, but what that doesn't tell us is exactly how God decided to make chromosomes and join them, and how the monophysite nature actually happened. That means there was one unique nature. I just learned that from Google a couple of weeks ago. It didn't teach me how to pronounce it, but we're not going to know how he was fully God and fully man. But we don't need to, because it was an act of divine overshadowing. He says the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. In fact, he says this holy thing right? He's not really sure how to describe it. I don't want to call it a being. I don't want to make God mad at me for calling him a human. I'm not really sure how to go about this, but he says he is born of God. It was a divine initiative. It was divine power. The impossible was made possible by the Almighty God and by God alone. And so, again, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It wasn't human effort. It wasn't anything humanity could do. It was God's soul act, shrouded in mystery. And we'll talk about overshadowed in a moment, but just for now, let's just leave it at this. What man could never make happen, God accomplishes through his Spirit. We children of God, and the Lord was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a husband, but of God. Not, but of God. And now John reveals this exact same rhythm, these exact same impossibilities, and the exact same divine solution for us. This is how we become God's children. The same rhythm, the same pattern, the same God. Yes. Listen to it again. Not of blood. There is no religious heritage for us. Like I had said, the Jews thought, hey, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to anyone. But yes, they were. And as we had said, your family's faith cannot save you. Your family's faith cannot birth you into God's family. It doesn't matter how long you've come here and how many times your parents or grandparents have dragged you here. It comes down to you. You have to make that decision. You have to take that step. You have to respond to the Lord in obedience in order to become a part of the family of God. No spiritual inheritance comes through the bloodline. And I can give you a church membership card. That does not mean you are saved. It doesn't transfer or incur salvation. Your family tree, no matter how godly it may be, cannot make you God's child. Not of blood. Not of flesh. Because again, there can be no physical birth to produce spiritual life. Born of the flesh, you're of the flesh. You must be born of the Spirit to be of the Spirit. You cannot reproduce your way into God's kingdom. And that even takes place on a spiritual level. It doesn't matter how many people you convert. It doesn't make you. It doesn't automatically confer upon you this being born of God. Even the most beautiful natural human process of creating life is powerless to create spiritual life. It's not of man's will. There is no human determination. No matter how much we sit down and we plan. I know some people who tarried for the Holy Ghost for years and were surprised when they got it at how easy it was. I know other people who've walked in just thinking, okay, well, this is the next thing on the to-do list, so I'm going to do it and receive the Holy Ghost. You know, you can't plan it out for someone. You can't say, okay, I'm going to have 3 kids. When they're 7 years old, they're going to get baptized. When they're 8, they're going to get the Holy Ghost. When they're 9, they're going to become missionaries to Tanzania. You know, you can't plan out this kind of spiritual birth. You can't be planned into a Christian family. It's not about resolutions. It's not about turning over new leaves. It's not about behavior modification and deciding to only do what is right. You cannot strategize, you cannot plan, you cannot determine your way into God's family. Not, but of God. That same divine overshadowing that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into Mary's womb, that same Spirit that hovered over creation, the same Spirit that overshadowed Mary, now rests upon all those who believe on him. And again, that word overshadowing, give me 30 seconds and we'll get to that in depth, I promise you. But even now, I want you to understand this is not about your strength. It's not about anything in your history. It's nothing to do with your actions. It's nothing even to do with your planning or your strategizing. You cannot earn your way into the being born the children of God. And if you feel like you have to, then let's pray together so that you can put that aside and receive the birth into the children of God. Because this being born, this new birth, is God's creative initiating power.
Yeah.
Right? It's God. It's His power. And it rests on us and it fills us, not because we are worthy. We'll never be worthy on our own, but because He is willing. And so let's look. I promise you, we'd look at the word overshadowed, and you're not very excited about that, but I'm very excited about this. The same Greek word that brought Jesus into the world today must bring you into God's family. You see, we saw that the Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary. That same word is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, in Exodus 40, verse 35, where it says, "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The cloud abode thereon. That's that same word in the Greek for overshadowed. It didn't just fill it, but it hovered over it. It was a protection around it. It just infiltrated. I lost all the words. But when we talk about in Him we live, breathe, and move, and have our being, in Him all things consist, it's that same mentality. In His presence, it's all encompassing. It's hovering over you. And there's all kinds of branches going into the covert of His wings and all these ideas of being covered. But it's this idea that the cloud is pleased to hang out and surround that person, or that, in this case, the tabernacle. And we also see it used three different times for the same episode. We see it in the Gospels on the Mount of Transfiguration when it says, "And while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." It's that same word. So this is, and I did word searches, so unless I messed up the word search, this is the only three instances, five results, in which this word is used. It's when God indwells and surrounds a physical tent. It's when God joins with Mary's egg in her womb to become flesh. And it's when the Son is transfigured and revealed in glory. And now, in our new birth, God overshadows us, making us His temple, making us His children. And I will say this, the word overshadowed is not used directly for our new birth, but every time God overshadowed someone or something in Scripture, in those three instances, something new, holy, and impossible happened.
Yeah.
And when the Spirit fills you, He's doing the exact same kind of work.
Yeah.
He's doing something new, He's doing something holy, and He's doing something impossible.
Yeah.
You can't do it. He does it. And when the Spirit fills you, it's that same work. Not of human effort, but of God. Not, but of God. He is indwelling us. We are His temple, like the tabernacle that He abode upon. He is transforming us, and one day will transfigure us. It's the same divine action. It's the same creative power. It's not a violation. It's not an intrusion. It's an invitation. It's not force. It's a protective covering. It's the cloud providing shade, shelter, and guidance. It's not just God covering, but God's presence enveloping and transforming and creating what wasn't there before.
Yeah.
To be overshadowed is to be I like that word. I'm going to use it again. Enveloped by God's presence in a way that it forms something new in you. Yeah. Not through your efforts, not through anything you could do, but through the power of God Himself. Mary, in hearing this, says, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel of the Lord said, "Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." And Mary didn't say, I'm not going to let you ruin my life. I got a reputation to uphold. But she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." There was an announcement. There was an explanation. And there was a response. And so our question can be like Nicodemus. Okay, I want in. It can be like the men in Acts 2, men and brethren, what shall we do? How can I be born again when I'm already old and decrepit? Nicodemus didn't say decrepit. That's my own personal interpolation there. So our question, what must I do? How can I be born again? And the divine explanation, the Lord says, well, you must be born of water and of spirit. And Peter explains that to us and says, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's an announcement. There's our question. There's the explanation and instruction. And then we must surrender and say, let it be according to your will. And we see the result of that is as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, to be born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And like Mary, we are not passive in this birth. There is a surrender, but it's also a participation. The Spirit hovers. It's been poured out upon all flesh, but we must receive it. We must welcome Him. And that's an active response. We must believe on His name. And I think I talked about that under James's formula of faith plus works and knowing Him and acting according to that knowledge. We must believe on His name. We must be baptized in His name. And that is, again, obedient participation in the process. And then we must receive His Spirit, that yielding to His process. And so we cannot earn being born of God, but we can yield ourselves and allow Him to birth us. And that same divine overshadowing that brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the world in the flesh is available to bring us today into God's family and into the kingdom of God. And the pattern is available. The same Spirit that overshadowed Mary, the same power that filled the tabernacle, the same divine initiative that just whips right past human impossibility, the same God is ready to make you His child. And this, I love this divine pattern of birth. Nope, not, but, right? Impossible, but of God. With God, all things are possible. Not of blood, not of flesh, not of human will, but of God. It's how Christ came into this world, and it's how you can come into His family. Mary believed that impossible announcement. Let it be unto me according to your word. Will you believe yours? When the Lord makes that announcement to you, you must be born again. Will you believe? It's not a suggestion. It's a necessity. And the Spirit that overshadowed her is ready to overshadow you. And I'm reminded of, Zechariah? I'm going to pull numbers out of a hat. 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So where Mary said yes to the impossible, will you say yes to the impossible in your life? Will you yield yourself to Him, to surrender yourself to Him, and allow that same power, the same pattern, the same God to work the miracle in your life? I'll open the altars to you today. If you'd like to be prayed for, feel free to come on down and signal at me. We'll pray for you. If you want to take the moment and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I haven't yielded everything in my life, but I'm ready to today. Lord, I'm tired of having a right I haven't exercised. Today, I want to exercise that right and allow you to birth me into your kingdom. If you would, the altar is open, and I welcome you today.